Welcome to Coffee Time Conversations on art, faith, life,
and of course, coffee.
We are your hosts, Robert
and Rebecca Prince.
We are so glad you're back for season 2, episode 2.
We're on a roll.
We are on a roll, 2 in a row. actually, and you didn't even really help record the last 2. I interviewed Ryan Flanagan.
Why you gotta call me out like that?
It's just the way it worked out. There's nothing bad in that. It's the way it happens. It's all good. You should see her face. She's so sad. Like she just got in trouble.
I did.
No, you did not. Well, it's very cool. Enjoying this fall weather and just looking forward to the continued fall weather, man. Summer seemed a little brutal. I mean, I spent a decent amount of time outside in the yard and flowers, but
it just always seems so long.
It did seem really, really long. Well, I heard Tish Oxenrider and Seth Haynes on their podcast this week talking about, so Tish lives in Central Texas. I'm not sure where. I think somewhere near Austin. But talking about, she always questions her move to Texas during the summer heat.
Right.
And the length of the summer. She's like, I'm not sure, but she's discovered some really good reasons to stay in Texas, specifically centered around community.
Yeah.
And so that's cool. But I think most of us have that same thought about Texas summers. It's like, why in the world do we live here?
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, our life is so good here. We can't really complain.
Yeah. No. Texas is great.
But summer is long.
Yeah. And nothing really compares to the first summer we were here. We had 42 or 43 days over 100 degrees.
And the humidity
was crazy. And so that was our first summer here in Dallas. That would have been 2010 summer because we moved in fall of 2009. Yeah. And so every summer since then, it's been fairly easy compared to that one.
It's been better. So I don't know about easy.
I'm not even sure we hit double digit days in over 100 this year.
Yeah. I don't know.
10, so
I don't know, but there was plenty often. Of hot Monday.
Monday, 2 days before fall officially started.
Yeah.
It was your car said 106, but I think it was right at 100 or 101 that day.
Oh, it was
like 75% humidity. So.
And I was so ready for fall. I knew it was coming the next day. Like, I knew temperatures were dropping.
Right. We could see it in the pattern.
But I was like, I just got to get through today.
It was one final semi-brutal reminder of
Texas heat. Texas isn't really known for turning fall and staying fall until winter.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of flopping back and forth.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we'll still have some good summer days. Like, I mean, hot summer days, not good, but hot summer days.
But I'm a little...
The schedule.
Ready for it to be over.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is a nice little preview, no matter how long it lasts. Yeah. From what I could tell, it looks like at least the next week or so is going to be good weather.
Yeah. When we had a little break in August, we went to Colorado.
We did. That was really nice.
Yeah. It was lovely. Just a few days in the mountains.
Yeah. Yeah. That was our first real vacation since COVID hit. Yeah.
Probably since before COVID hit.
Yeah. Probably a couple of years.
Yeah.
So that was nice. Yeah. We just went up there for 5 days, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not quite a week. Had a great time. Spent time in Colorado Springs is where we went. And went up
Pikes Peak.
Took the train up Pikes Peak.
Yes, we did.
That was really cool. And I'd been wanting to go to Colorado Springs for years. And about 4 or 5 years ago, I discovered the cog train that goes up Pikes Peak that you can ride. Well, I think about a year after I discovered it, they shut it down.
Yeah.
And I was so disappointed. And at that time, I don't remember. It seems like they just shut it down with no definitive plans. And I think it was less than a year, though, that a local company, local resort there bought it. And I could have the story mixed up, but it seems like they bought it. And then that's when they started the remodel and rebuild of the tracks and additions of the new train cars and things. So,
yeah. And it just reopened this May.
Yeah. It reopened in May. And so we thought, hey, this is a great time to go to Colorado.
Yeah.
So, and it worked out. There was an art walk that weekend we were there.
Yeah.
And so we got to enjoy some great art.
We came home with art.
We did. We bought art and came home with art, which we don't do all that often.
No.
At least not as much as we came home with.
Yeah, we each got a ceramic mug.
A new mug from a local gallery there.
And I think Robert likes mine better than his.
I do, but it's okay. It was such a great price, and he's a great artist. And I just couldn't believe he was selling stuff so cheap at a gallery, nonetheless. Right. And the gallery owners, well, I guess the gallery worker couldn't.
Said that he...
Couldn't believe it either.
Undercharged also.
Yeah, they've talked to him about upping his prices, and he's like, no, he just loves doing the pottery and loves sharing it, so...
Yeah. And then you bought it's a photograph, really pretty fall tree photograph.
Mounted that's on a slate tile?
It's mounted on slate. It's really, that hangs in your office. It's really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So we did really enjoy our time. Had some good food, really good views.
Tried some new coffee.
Yeah. Went up to the top of Pikes Peak, and it wasn't crazy cold.
It wasn't.
So it was about 70 down in town. And then it was about, I think, mid-40s when we got to the top of Pikes Peak.
Yeah, I think so.
So
we were there when they had a lot of haze from fires, though, that had come over from California.
Yes, the jet stream had brought the haze in from the wildfires in Oregon and California, I think.
Yeah, and so it wasn't quite as clear as we would have liked.
Yeah, you couldn't really see the top of Pikes Peak from Colorado Springs, which many times you can.
Yeah.
And when we were at the top, you didn't have nearly as good a view, they say, as you might have otherwise.
But it was still very pretty.
It was.
And we enjoyed the cooler temperatures.
And honestly, the haze, I think the haze and stuff made the sunsets and sunrises more dramatic as well. We didn't see a whole lot of it, but from what I could tell, that was probably the case. So we've had a good time. Of course, we've done a lot of I've done a lot of gardening. Rebecca's still done a lot of painting and art, and she is back in the full swing of things at work, but we won't talk about that.
We don't want to talk about work.
She's working multiple positions and a new one, and it's kind of wearing her out. But at the same time, she's just doing her job.
One day at a time.
Well, today we just want to update you on kind of where we're at. You know, we've made a lot of changes over the last 6 weeks, 8 weeks, and we've kind of started dreaming again. About several things. And one of the dreams that I've always had, and Rebecca's kind of been along for the ride, whether she's been truly on board or not, was maybe opening a coffee shop. That's not just a coffee shop, but it's also a kind of a gallery space and community space. And the community space can be used for concerts and different things like that, but it can also be used for like church events, small groups, things like that. And so we just kind of have started dreaming. And through that process, we've identified a few areas and a few locations, actually. And so we jumped a little bit more, but really, and we've decided to postpone that part of our dream. But through that process, it has allowed us to dream about other things.
Yeah. We realized we're still a few years away from being able to own a coffee shop and really do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But it
starts... At least a few years.
But it's... It started some conversations, and it spurred us on to really figure out what our next step is.
Yeah.
And one of the things I'm doing is I signed up with a personal coach that is helping me create a legacy artisan business.
Yeah, so you're going through this 10-week coaching program, basically.
Yeah, it's a 10-week coaching program. With Laura Cornell, and she's helping me really put into words my purpose, what my art means, the purpose of my business, and what do I want to accomplish. Yeah. Which, if y'all listened to last season, you know my art started as support for Compassion International.
Yes.
And so that's part of what my legacy business will be, because we will continue to support Compassion International through the proceeds that we get from the sale of my art and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, and we should say too, so you started looking at this coaching for your painting specifically.
Yes.
And for you to start figuring out kind of some next steps in your painting and really focus in your efforts a little bit on subject material, but also through that process, how do we really make this a legacy business? And when we talk about legacy business, we're really talking about making this something that lasts longer than we do.
Right.
And makes a difference in other people's lives, not just puts money in our pocket.
Right. Well, and it's not even just about hanging art on the wall.
Right. It's naturally progressed into us thinking about our business as a whole. And so I mentioned that I've gotten back into pottery. I've just about got my studio complete. Actually, by the time this airs, hopefully it will be totally complete.
Yeah.
Still having some problems with the kiln, but again, you know, you just figure it out and you keep moving along. So, but between ceramics and your painting and your art and this podcast, and I'm also writing. That's a new thing we haven't even talked about yet.
Right.
Since we shut down and took a break from podcasts, I've started a website, which has turned into a company. So we'll tell you more about that in just a few minutes. But yeah, so this legacy coaching business is really helping us think about the whole business, not just your painting now.
Right.
And you're still processing it in the context of your painting to some degree.
Right.
But then we're processing it as a couple. We're processing it as a whole.
Where we can add in all the aspects at some point. Because really the foundation is going to be the same.
Yes.
Our values and our purpose and our legacy we're trying to build throughout all the areas is the same.
Yes.
So that is what the business is.
Right. Yeah. So I'm excited about that because it's more than just building a business to create an income. It's about building a legacy. It's about leaving a story here on earth.
Right.
That outlasts us and just the impact that we have on the local people. But it's also about impacting the world through justice and through poverty.
Right.
Which is really our two focuses. Our two focuses have been on poverty through Compassion International and then justice through IJM, International Justice Mission.
Right.
And so those are really the two organizations that we're looking at. How do we support them in a more real way and also raise awareness for them and make that a part of our legacy?
Right.
So, yeah, so I'm excited because it does also give us a vision that helps keep us excited about moving forward.
There's a quote I heard that has really stuck with me, and it's, "True happiness doesn't come from success, but from significance." Mm-hmm. And I think what we're trying to do is not be successful, but to make a difference.
Right.
In other people's lives. And that gives us significance.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah. For sure. It has to be more than just about us for it to really be sustainable and for it to keep us motivated.
Right.
I mean, I think that's true for most people, but it's definitely true for us.
Yeah.
It's not just about lining the pocketbook.
Right.
For us. That's never been our main motivation for really anything. Don't get me wrong. It's nice to have money. We're not saying that. But at the same point.
Well, we have bills to pay and we want to eat and that sort of thing.
Right. Right.
But yeah. We don't need to live extravagantly.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm excited about the coaching program and it'll serve us well after you're through the coaching program and you're halfway through the program right now. You got another 5 weeks or so to go.
Yeah.
But it's just affecting all areas of our life. And so that's one reason I started to get the pottery going again, the ceramics, because I know for any transition we make with you specifically,
right,
transitioning you out of full-time employment into full-time artistry, doing that is going to be key to the success of our business in the sense of marketing, for one.
Right.
Social media and marketing in general and graphic design, but also for your art to take a step forward. But we also feel ceramics can be specifically mugs and coffee cups, because that's what I love producing the most, can be a stepping stone to help supplement that income while we make that transition.
Right.
Fully. And so I'm excited about that in ways that I haven't been excited about ceramics, because it's not about just going out there and playing in the mud.
Right.
We've got the vision again for how this is going to play out in our lives over the next year or two, 3 years.
Yeah. So. I have to say your studio is looking good.
Thank you. Yeah.
You've worked so hard to clean it up and then you changed all of your clays and glazes to
been doing a lot of experimenting.
Cone 6 And so we can fire everything at home and be our full studio.
Yeah, fully contained right here at home without having to go anywhere else.
Yeah, and it is looking good. I think it's going to really function well for you. So I'm excited about that too.
Yeah. Yeah, I am too. So if I could just get that stinking kiln fixed so it is fired correctly.
Right? So you fired a bisque kiln.
Yeah, separate bisque kiln.
And it worked okay.
Yeah, that one works great.
It's a smaller kiln. And then you did your first glaze firing.
Yeah. I've been in this kiln I've had for 5 years, but I tried to repair it. I put some new parts in it a couple years ago, and it's never worked since. And I finally was talking with somebody, troubleshooting it, and he was going to come out and looked at it. I sent him a few pictures, and he immediately saw something wrong. I fixed it. It started working. So I did a quick test fire. That worked. And then I test fired my glaze testers, which basically are just small pieces with glaze because I've never fired these particular glazes or used them. I wanted to see the colors.
Right.
And right before that got done, one of the elements went out, the top element. And so I'm not even sure it fired totally correctly. Some of them may be a little underfired. Some are a little overfired. So we're not even sure those colors are going to match. But it was still exciting to do. Yeah. And so we're still waiting on that kiln to be repaired.
We have to repair it. And then he has to run those test tiles again.
Yeah, I'll run the test tiles one more time. And then hopefully at the same time, I'll have mugs to fire quickly after that.
Yeah.
But it's a process.
We're excited to see finished pieces.
We are. We are excited. Yeah. Well, and we had mentioned my writing, and really the writing that I've stepped into, the website we're using, and ultimately what has been used to create our business is Recognizing the Divine.
Yeah.
And that's kind of our goal, and our hope is to help people recognize the divine. And that's definitely my goal in writing, is to help people recognize the divine in their lives, the divine at work through them and in them. And so we just started talking about different things. And when we decided to form our company, which we just did a few weeks ago.
It's official.
It's official. We are an artistic business, artists.
Now the government can hold us responsible.
Yeah, yeah. Recognizing the Divine LLC. So, but you can find my writing at recognizingthedivine.com. And my pottery will probably be at least a page on there, or at least linked to the website once we get kind of that up and running fully. Of course, we've got Coffee Time Conversations. And so we're glad you're joining us for that and along for the ride with us.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we were talking about legacy businesses. And through this process, somehow I come across this company called Three Tree Coffee Roasters. And they have, they're in Georgia. And they are what I would call a legacy business. They actually just came out with a coffee subscription that supports Compassion International. So you can buy a 1-year coffee subscription, and 20% of the proceeds go to support Compassion International also. And I just happened upon them on Facebook. And so I'm excited that we will be interviewing Philip, one of the co-founders and owners of Three Tree Coffee. That'll be coming up in the next few episodes. In fact, I'll be interviewing him in a few weeks. And so excited to share their message and talk to him more about the legacy business, because they've been in business for about 5 or 6 years now. And they've always had a focus on justice and making it more than just about them. And so it's really worked well for this time in our lives to be able to see that and hopefully talk to him and get some insight into what that looks like and how that functions in practical, everyday business.
Yeah, and we've got to try that coffee. We haven't tried it yet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, he's also written a book, and so I've got that book. I need to read it before I interview him. And
lots to do.
Lots to do, yes. Well, Beck, I think we've updated people on quite a bit of stuff. But we haven't talked about a new coffee.
We haven't talked about a new coffee yet.
No. Which one are you going to tell them about today?
I'm going to tell them about my favorite coffee, my new favorite coffee.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. The first time we tried this, we realized, wow, this is really smooth, nice, medium.
Yeah.
Medium to bold.
Yeah. So it is Noble Tree Coffee Company, and the The coffee is called Defiance.
Yeah.
Which you, I think you really don't like that name because you never can remember it.
Right. Right. Well, it doesn't seem like it. Yeah, it just doesn't flow as a coffee name. But anyway, Noble Tree Coffee.
And it's really good. I really like it.
Yeah, that's the one we got for, I think we got it just for $5 shipping.
Yeah.
Approximately. It was a free bag. And again, it was one of those things I saw on Facebook and you click on one ad and then you see multiples. And it was one of those I found and tried.
Well, then you found it like on Walmart or something.
Well, yeah, I did find it. Yeah. Online and other places, and then found a really good deal on it when I went to buy it at Walmart's website of all reasons. I don't think it was actually sold through Walmart, but I found a really good price on it. And so bought a couple bags.
Yeah. And they got stuck in
shipping
somewhere. Yeah. It took forever for them to get here.
Yeah. So they went from Georgia to Pennsylvania.
Because of the
FedEx or
because
something.
Of the hurricane in Louisiana.
Yeah, but that was like a day or two delay, supposedly. And it was like 8 or 9 days later before I finally called them and said, hey, what's up? And then the funny thing is, the day I called them, it made it to Oklahoma City. And then the next morning, it made it to Dallas to be delivered to us that very next day.
Yeah.
It was, I don't really think it was stuck in Pennsylvania. I'm not sure they knew where it was, to be honest with you.
Well, it finally made it home.
It did. And so we were out at the time. And so we've enjoyed having it.
We have. It's been really good.
Yeah. So check that out. Noble Tree Coffee. Defiance is the blend we're talking about. And so, yeah, it's really good. We've really enjoyed that as well. We still have not come up with our tasting chart. We really need to come up with a tasting chart to tell these people, you know.
I know.
We're not official formal coffee tasters, and we wouldn't use the formal language, but we do hope to give you a resource that you can download and help note.
Someday.
dreams. It's on the list somewhere.
I just need like a month off of work and then yeah. I could get a few things done.
That's part of the marketing we were talking about kind of, and part of the material that we give away and help people with.
One day.
Oh my gosh. It feels like that day's coming sooner rather than later. But it also feels like it can't get here soon enough.
It feels so far away to me. So far.
Yeah. Dreams. They're a two-edged sword.
I know. I know.
Well, I think that does it for today, right, Beck? Anything else you want to say?
I think that's good.
Well, hey, actually, you know, something we always ask our guests, and this is, we talk about our favorite drink or coffee spot a lot, but something we don't ask each other all that often is, what's something that's inspiring you right now, or someone who's inspiring you right now? Well, while she's thinking about that, I'll give you my answer, because I surprised her with that question. We did not talk about that in advance. So, sorry, babe.
Yeah. What's inspiring you, Robert?
I think your coaching, honestly, for one. I've sat in on one session, but I don't even think I need to sit in on the sessions. Just you going through the material and you processing it and us then talking about it and processing it.
Yeah.
I know coaching does a lot of good, personal coaching. When it's a good coach, they ask the right questions, they take you through the right steps. I know that can do a lot of good just from personal experience. So with you going through this program, it's helping us think about our company in ways that we haven't thought about it, at least to the degree that we're thinking about it now. We have thought about our company always supporting compassion or IJM and working to reduce poverty and and bring justice. But we're thinking about it on a totally different level now, I feel like. And that's inspiring.
Yeah.
It's much more inspiring than going out and making 100 mugs to put a few thousand dollars in the bank. But going out and making mugs to make an impact on poverty halfway around the world or through Compassion International, wherever they work, or in Uganda, which is kind of a focus country for us because that's where our sponsored children are from. Two of our sponsored children are from.
Right.
Or to help rescue people from slavery through IJM. That is using our art for something much more than just going out into my studio and playing with mud. And that's really inspiring.
Yeah.
Much more than it is otherwise. I mean, I love playing in mud. I've loved playing in mud since I was a kid. Sometimes more than others. But when there's a purpose, a true purpose, and a true vision behind it, it makes it much more attainable and much more enjoyable. Because it is a lot of steps and some long hours, to be honest. especially firing. There's a lot of steps and a lot of time in that process from start to finish.
Yeah.
So that's, sorry, I hope I didn't steal your answer, but that is something that's really been inspiring me. And that's one reason that's driven me to get my studio finished up and really completed.
Right. Yeah, I, when you asked me that question, I was having a hard time just picking one.
Oh, okay, okay.
That, it wasn't that I don't have things inspire me, but I have too many. And what one do I want to share today? And so since you mentioned my coaching, I can pick a different one.
Well, there you go. I narrowed it down for you. You're welcome.
Thanks. So I would have to say I am part of a couple of different communities online. And one of them is called United Art Space.
Oh, yeah.
It's a bunch of artists. And then there's a specific community within that that's called The Hub. And it's a paid membership community.
Yeah.
They are, the members from that are all over the world. So the organizers of it live in UK.
Yeah.
But there's people in Africa and Australia and just all over. There's actually very few Americans in the group.
Yeah.
And so but it's just inspiring. It's inspiring to hear the stories of artists all over the world and see we all struggle with the same things. We all need help from other artists and people in general. And we're kind of all learning this from each other. Like, there's not just this one manual that has all the answers.
Yeah, yeah. You're walking in community with others and trying to figure this thing out together.
Yeah, and part of it's been kind of hard because the time difference is a lot. But I have been lurking in there, and it is really inspiring. I think it helped me get to the place of knowing I needed a coach.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't think you'd ever got to the coaching if you hadn't gotten to that membership prior. And you were fairly active in the membership, I think, prior to you starting coaching 5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I think you will be again after coaching, probably.
I think so. I mean, there's only so much time in a day.
Right.
But I did know I had so much information. I really needed help focusing and sorting it out and clarifying. Making it tangible to me.
Being able to process it in a way that helped us take next steps.
Yeah. And Laura's really helped me do that through the coaching process. So there you go. That's my inspiration.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, great. Well, you can check those out. We'll link to those organizations in the show notes, of course, if you're interested in those and everything we talked about. So hope you enjoyed this episode of Coffee Time Conversations. We will be back next week with another new episode. I think we are talking to our friend Emily.
Yeah.
Next week.
That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. So we've known her quite a few years, but you'll find more about that next week. So you all have a great week, and we will be speaking to you again soon. Thanks for joining us.
Bye.